Hey, everybody. Today is part three of our series on achieving your health goals, coming from the privilege I have had of witnessing the ebbs and flows of countless women trying to tackle their health goals and noticing some recurring themes that I thought deserved a deep dive. This is brought to you by my urge to uncover with you the patterns that have led many amazing clients and myself to stumble on our health goals. Keeping it real, we've all been there. We've all been chasing those seemingly unattainable expectations and falling short of our health goals, wondering why they never just stick or we can't really seem to get on top of things. We've already talked about managing our expectations and we've talked about building a support system to help us along the journey. Today, we're talking about probably my favorite topic, which is SMART goals. Setting goals that are specific, measurable, etc., that help us to really tackle things in a way that is systematic and achievable. When it comes to setting health goals, we have got to get specific. People might start working on their health goals for many different reasons, usually driven by some sort of desire to enhance their overall well-being or improve their quality of life. People might seek to improve their physical fitness, to boost their energy levels, to manage their weight, to prevent chronic illnesses, all sorts of things. Other people might be looking to create better self-care habits, to reduce stress, to achieve a mental and emotional balance. And there might be other external factors like social pressure or a significant life event or a sickness, or witnessing the health struggles of loved ones that can also prompt individuals to embark on a health journey and to want to set some health goals. So whether it's regaining control over their health or building self-confidence or simply embracing a healthier lifestyle, the pursuit of health goals can really empower individuals to take charge of their own happiness and their own longevity. And that's amazing. That is what I am here to encourage and support. Embarking on a journey toward better health is a totally commendable decision all on its own. But if you want to make any of those aspirations or big dreams or health goals into reality, we can't just say we want to do them and hope for the best. One of the main reasons that I see people not succeeding in their goals, truthfully, is that the goals they are setting are general or ambiguous. So today we're going to explore the importance of setting goals that are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and trackable, aka SMART, in order to achieve lasting improvements in our health and our well-being. I want to say here that it is not your fault if you have not been achieving health goals. If you have been setting these really big, ambitious, heartfelt ideals for what you want your health to achieve or accomplish, and it's not happening, that's not your fault, okay? I want you to understand first kind of the ins and outs of goal setting and understand why we struggle to set clear health goals so you know that this happens to people all the time. For lots of reasons. And it has nothing to do with your ability to tackle goals. It's just that things get in the way of that. And we want to learn how to set specific goals so that we can change the patterns of what we've always done. Sometimes we don't set ourselves up for long-term success because we just don't know what we don't know. We don't know that our goal is not specific enough. We don't know that if we had a certain way to track it, it would become more effective and we become more accountable. So it's okay, like, to not know that what we've been trying to do isn't really going to come to fruition. I'm glad that your hopes and your ambitions are still there. There's also an abundance of health and wellness misinformation that is out there that can be really making it challenging for individuals to discern, like, what is actually relevant to their specific needs, what actual specific thing they should be working on. If one person tells you to eat a lot of carbs and the other person tells you to eat no carbs, that just leads to confusion and you don't even know how to set a specific goal anymore. You just want to eat better, you want to feel better, but you're not really sure what better is. That's okay. So acknowledging that sometimes we don't know what we don't know and that we need to seek out more real research-based actual information or a person who can help us with that is totally okay. I also see people stumble in their health goals because they're a little bit afraid of the specific level of commitment that it might entail. People hesitate to commit to a plan or to set something very specific, like quantifying, giving a number to something, because they're afraid that it's going to be unmanageable or that they're not going to be able to stick with it and they don't want to fail at the goal. So it's easier to say something in general like, I'm going to move more, which feels a lot better and a lot friendlier. But in reality, like, what is more? How are you going to move? Like, when are you going to make that happen? Are details that need to be hammered out in order to actually see progress toward what you're trying to do. There's also the issue of like biting off more than you can chew or having these big ideals and not having figured out how to make it a habit into your current routine or your current lifestyle. So if I say like, I want to go to the gym 4 days a week, that's a really specific and awesome thing for me to want to do. But if I haven't figured out like when I'm going to go, how that fits into the routine of home and work, et cetera, how I'm going to make sure I'm prepared and like how I'm going to keep track of that. If I haven't figured out that other stuff, I don't understand where it fits in my day-to-day routine. And that can feel overwhelming. Like figuring out all those details and then again, committing to them can feel a little overwhelming. So I totally get that. That's a lot of what I do as a coach is helping people to fine-tune those goals. There's also something I think for women that's especially important is that we tend to prioritize other obligations and other responsibilities over tackling our health goals. Maybe you're super busy or you have a lot of other people and responsibilities that rely on you. It can really be a struggle to allocate the time and effort to even set up what you want your health goal to look like, let alone do the things to put it into practice. So it's okay that there's a lack of knowledge, a lack of information, a fear of commitment, or, you know, not having the support you need. It's okay that that stuff has been there in the past. That doesn't have to continue to be a reality going forward. So I want you to take a minute here to pause and reflect if any of those struggles for health goals stood out to you. Lack of awareness or misinformation, fear of commitment, difficulty forming a habit or routine, prioritizing other people. Do any of those stand out to you as things that are getting in your way? It's good to know what your starting point is as we go into the next part of this episode, because you'll be keeping in mind how you're specifically going to tackle that struggle and prevent it from continuing so that you can make more progress on your goals. Now I'd like for you to hear the language of what I mean about the difference between vague goals or ambiguous goals and specific goals. We're going to really focus on specificity in this episode. So vague goals can kind of be counterproductive because they don't give us a clear direction. So it becomes challenging to do anything about them. And then we feel frustration that we're not making progress. And it starts to put this idea in our head that we're not able to accomplish our goals. So even though vague and friendly sounding goals feel like they're going to be friendlier, they can do us a little bit of damage in the long run. For example, a vague goal might be, I want to be healthier. I'm glad you have that ambition. But a specific goal might be, I want to exercise 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. It's not as pretty of a sounding goal. It doesn't accomplish everything we think of when we think about, I want to be healthier. But it does give us direction as to what we are supposed to do on our quest to being healthier. Another example might be, I want to eat better. This is the year I really clean up my eating. Great ambition. What are you going to do? A specific goal for eating better might sound like, I will incorporate at least 3 servings of vegetables and 2 servings of fruit into my day. Specific. That's very specific. We know exactly what we're going to consume. We can measure it. We can count it. It's related to our bigger picture goal of eating better. And I could even keep track of it. I could literally keep a checklist of that. We'll come back to that in a minute. Another vague goal that people think is specific. So like, I'm going to drink more water. Maybe we set a goal at the beginning of the week. Man, I did not hydrate the way I needed to last week. I'm going to drink more water this week. Well, how much more? And how are you going to make sure that that happens? If I could say, I am going to drink at least 5 glasses of water every day, and then I leave a specific glass on the counter next to the sink, I am much more likely to actually achieve that. In the same way, I'm going to start exercising more. I really sat around the house last week, or we did a lot of activities and I didn't really move my body. I'm going to start exercising more this week. Vague. Specific alternative. I will attend yoga class twice this week and go for a 15-minute walk on the other days. Specific action. See how these are like action-based. They're not like end goal or aspiration-based, which I know we've talked about on here before, and I talk about a lot in the Get in Control workshop too. But we often set these ideas that our goals are going to be based on like how we're going to feel at the end or what we're going to be able to do at the end, when really in order to take action, we need action-based goals of things that we can do now in the process in order to get to the end, you know? Last example, I need to reduce my stress. Vague. Specific option for getting to that end goal, I will practice meditation for 15 minutes every morning. Specific, measurable, attainable, relevant to what we're talking about, and trackable. I can set a timer and I can make a note that I've done that, and I can reflect on how I feel and now how I need to keep growing. Now, I've said SMART goals a few times in this episode. If you are unfamiliar, SMART goals are a proven framework that are designed to help individuals create well-defined objectives that are more likely to be achieved. Each element of the SMART acronym has a specific purpose that helps us shape those goals and shape goals that are both challenging and attainable and related to those big picture ideas we have. Over time, this SMART goal criteria has been widely adopted and adapted for a variety of settings, the corporate world, personal development, education, health and wellness. It crosses a lot of different areas. For the purposes of our understanding, we talk about, or I talk about SMART goals as being specific, like we've said, the actual thing we're trying to do or have happen, measurable, quantifiable in some way. We're going to eat X amount of servings of vegetables. I'm going to move X amount of days. It's measurable. It has to be achievable, SMA, right? It has to be achievable, meaning you can do it. It's within your reach or within your skill set. It doesn't have to be achievable right this minute, but it means that with practice and repetition, it's possible for you within your own physical and mental and capabilities, and also the time that you have available to you and the resources. The R in SMART stands for relevant. So it has to be something, you know, that we're going to work on that does point to that bigger picture. We're not keeping your big overall goal of I need to reduce my stress out. We're making sure that the goal we set is directly relevant or related to that bigger ideal. And then trackable. A lot of people like to call the T in SMART time bound. For our purposes, I prefer trackable. Because without keeping track of something like this, how will you know if you're making progress? Without any tracking, our goals might lose momentum or lose priority. They lose visibility. Now, tracking is not forever. I am not an advocate of putting all of your calories into MyFitnessPal every day from now until you die. But it can be very impactful in short term to help build your awareness and to help build a habit. So you could use a habit tracker, a calendar, a planner, a note in your phone calendar, any visual system that is simplest for you. But I do believe that tracking goals and habits in the short term is a really powerful part of the process. So we're going to put these SMART goals into practice to help us achieve our success in our health endeavors. So you do want to, I'm going to offer you like 6 steps right now, okay? Because I'm going to offer you like 6 steps because you do want to put effort toward your health goals in a systematic way. Now, I know that this sounds nerdy. I know it sounds like it takes work. It is not the same as making a vision board and looking at it and thinking about how healthy you want to be, even though that has a place in, you know, your mindset at work. It's not the nitty-gritty of getting stuff done, of achieving your goals. Like, this is where the rubber meets the road, so to say, and you are going to actually do the work. You're going to actually do the thing. Okay. So I'm going to offer you 6 steps. Number one is you are going to identify your health priorities. This is where you can make your vision board if you want. This is where you're going to take some journaling time or reflecting time to think about the aspects of your health that you want to improve. Your fitness, your nutrition, your sleep, your stress, etc. You're going to think about, like, what is important to me right now? What am I aspiring for? Step two, we're going to make our goals specific, clearly defining what it is that we want to do in each area of focus. So if my health priority, big picture, is I want to feel healthier, I'm envisioning feeling vibrant and energetic. Okay, well, this, when we get specific here, we're going to say, I'm going to eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. Not so pretty, very actionable. Or I'm going to meditate for 5 minutes every morning. Specific. We're going to find some way that we can measure that progress. And I guess tied there in number 2 is, like, specific and measurable, because it's some clear action and a quantity attached to it. Like I said, 5 servings of fruits and vegetables, 5 minutes of meditation every morning. Okay, so it's specific, it is measurable, it is achievable and trackable kind of go together for me. We want to make sure this is something that we can actually do within the logistics of our life and our physical capabilities, and then find a way that we're going to keep track of it. So am I going to, you know, print out a habit tracker? You can get a free one on the internet. You get a free one on Canva. You can get a habit tracker. Am I going to use the calendar or planner that I already have and put a little star on it every time I exercise or write down what I did? Maybe there's a dry erase or laminated sheet on the refrigerator with an Expo marker, and every time you make a serving of fruit and vegetables, you check it off. Okay, find a way that you can track your progress routinely. Okay, so we've got a specific goal and a way that we can measure it. We know it's relevant to our big ideas. We know it's possible for us, and we know that it can be tracked. The bonus, is that all the steps? I've lost track of myself here. So let me run down my list quickly. We've identified our health priorities. We've made a specific goal. We found a way to measure our progress. We're staying realistic that the goal matches our current capabilities and our lifestyle. We've developed a tracking system that helps us to measure the process on a day-to-day basis. Okay, that was 5. The 6th thing that I have here was that you have to celebrate your milestones and adjust as needed. As you work toward your health goals, and you know this if you've ever done any tiny habit work with me, celebrating your achievement is a critical part to the process. It is critical that as you look back and say, hey, I did check the last 3 boxes, you acknowledge the success of that and you tell your brain, hey, you are making progress on your health goals. You said you were setting out to achieve this and you're doing it, because that affirmation to yourself is telling your brain, I am capable of making progress on my health goals, and you are significantly more likely to keep up with your efforts. You have to recognize those efforts and use those successes to fuel your own motivation even further. At the same time, you need to be open to adjusting your goals if you're not meeting them. If your goal was to work out every morning, 5 mornings a week, and you look back and you haven't done that the last 3 days, you need to make some adjustments, because that might not have been realistic for your lifestyle at this time. Or your lifestyle itself needs to be tweaked in order to leave space for that and to make it a priority. So it's at some point, at many points along the process, you need to be able to reflect. That's why we track it. You need to be able to look back and reflect, note your circumstances or how they've changed, and decide where you're going to tweak some things or where you're going to reach out to your support system to help you do that, to help you keep going and stay accountable. I could talk about SMART goals forever, but I do think that setting SMART goals that acknowledge your expectations, that keep your expectations in check, like we talked about in part 1, and relying on your support system to help you accomplish those SMART goals is truthfully the way to go when you want to reach those aspirations of better health, better wellness, feeling good in your own skin. Like, this is the way to do it. This is the work that I do one-on-one with clients. This is the process that I walk you through in the free Get in Control workshop. This is the process that we walk through even more specifically and with more nutrition information in the Eat Well with Steph program. I believe in this so strongly because I have seen it work for myself, with my family and friends, and of course with the clients that I've worked with over the last few years. So this series was really important to me to share with you, and thank you for listening along for 3 weeks now on achieving our health goals. When we come back to the podcast next week, if you're listening to this in real time, we're going to be shifting into September, and we're going to be shifting our focus a little bit to fitness. September is National Yoga Awareness Month. September also has National Women's Health and Fitness Day. It has National Family Health and Fitness Day. So there is lots to talk about when it comes to movement, when it comes to eating for exercise and how to fuel ourselves and how to recover from exercise. And I'm also excited. I'm going to be talking with a yoga instructor who owns a studio near me and is someone that I practice with on a regular basis. She's going to be coming in and chatting about yoga with us a little bit for Yoga Awareness Month. So lots of exciting stuff coming up for the fall. Thanks for being here, guys. If you found any of this helpful, this episode or anything else in this series, if you could send it to a friend, encourage them to subscribe. If you could turn on your downloads, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, any of those awesome things. They only take a few seconds each to do, but on the other end, on this creator end, they mean so, so much. So thanks for being here, you guys, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for listening to Be Well with Steph, the podcast. When there are a million things that you could be doing, I appreciate your choosing to hang out here. And I am proud of you for continuing to work on your own wellness journey. I invite you to head over to BeWellWithStuff.com for the details from this episode, my blog, upcoming events, and lots of other resources. If you enjoyed today's show, I'd love to hear from you. I'm Be Well With Steph everywhere you like to hang out on social media, so come on over and say hi. Until next time, my friends, be well.